Hey everyone, you're listening to WCDB Albany 90.9 FM, a special broadcast of Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman. I've got a very special guest live in studio, Bo Burnham. Bo, how's it going?
What's up? I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for having me.
Have you ever done a stand-up comedy radio show before?
I've done stand-up comedy and some radio, but it's good to do both. It's like sleepwalking.
Yeah, right, exactly. So when did you start going by Bo instead of Robert?
From birth, I was always Bo. The thing was, my dad wanted me to be named Bo, my real name.
But okay.
Then my mom thought if I became a doctor or something, they'd laugh me out of the office. That's an idiom. People don't do that. But they thought I could never be like Bo the doctor.
Right.
So they thought, oh, I'll name him Robert.
In case you want to switch back.
The name Bo. But ironically, Bo Burnham is like a good stage name.
Yeah, it's so great. Yeah, the right number of syllables and everything.
Syllables, alliteration.
So where did you come up with your idea for the Fred videos on YouTube?
Oh, that's pretty good. It was basically hung out at the playgrounds with just a handful of Adderall.
Excellent. So you have performed regular stand-up instead of just musical stand-up?
Yeah, if you see the show I do tonight, I'm running what will be my new the special I'm recording for Comedy Central, which is an hour.
Oh, cool.
You know, it's like 45 minutes without commercials.
Oh, excellent.
I would say it's a good like 30 or like 25 music and then 20 stand-up.
Oh, great. So is it just in-between song stand-up?
I mean, it's like stand-up is like poetry and like I do like haikus that are just really one-liners.
Right.
Stuff. Yeah, so, I'm trying to mix it up. I don't want to be like the kid with his guitar that's singing dirty songs and stuff.
Who would you say you're influenced by? Like with the one-liners, maybe some Mitch Hedberg? Or?
Yeah, you know, Mitch Hedberg, Stephen Wright. There's people that I really love, like Patton Oswalt and Louis C.K., but I'm not good enough to say that I'm influenced by them, but I like, I think the old Steve Martin, the vintage Steve Martin's probably like who I would say I'm most trying to be like.
Now, what was it like opening for Dane Cook?
That was crazy. I was never on the thing of hating on him, because the hate for him is so bandwagon,
yeah.
And it's the exact bandwagon that people hate his fans for. And like, there's always a thing like, Dane Cook has no jokes. He doesn't have any jokes. And then I'll say something like, like Mitch Hedberg. You're probably like Mitch Hedberg. And they're like, yeah, that's a real comedian. And I'll go, oh, remember that Mitch Hedberg joke he had where he says, you know how you know you're drunk when you look at the fare in a taxi and think it's the time? And they go, yeah, yeah, that's really good. And I go, well, that's a Dane Cook joke, and that's a joke. You know what I mean? So anyway, but that was just not the point. But it was crazy opening, because it doesn't feel like a comedy show.
Right.
Like you're standing in the tunnel, and they announce your name, and you come out, and it's just like, I couldn't even hear myself on stage. It was a blur. It was weird. It was. I would honestly say, I don't know if I would be able if I ever I don't know how he does it. It's really, it does not feel like you're doing comedy on set.
Did you do the piano? Did you like walk in a circle?
No, yeah, I had the keyboard, but like half the audience couldn't see me.
Right.
I mean, the fact that he can keep it, the fact that he can play to the round, and he was so able to transition so easily, and I think it's actually incredible as far as just like functioning on stage.
Definitely. Now we're pretty much the same age, and I've been doing stand-up for 3 years. You've been doing comedy for 3 years. That's pretty even.
Yeah.
Now, do we have a career difference, would you say?
We have a luck difference. We have a big luck difference. Yeah.
If you want, I can help out with one of those four records.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to, you know, I'll just take one over for you.
Yeah. That's, you know, the F word almost came out. We're doing a cancer benefit. Let's keep
it
clean.
There's
a lot of luck, yeah. And there's a lot of, and it's because of my age. That's the thing that I'm well aware of, that like, people are like, couldn't you believe that you're doing this at 19?
Yeah.
Like, well, I think the fact that I'm 19 has been a huge
push
factor
in
it, you know?
Yeah. So,
that'd be like going to Wee Man and being like, can you believe you're a movie star and a midget? Like, well, little person.
So, you were accepted to NYU, and you kind of deferred from that to do the comedy career.
Yes.
Do you plan to go back to college at some point?
No.
No?
No. I don't know. maybe one day. I was going to go study theater there. I was going to go like the theater conservatory.
Right.
So I wasn't really going to do classes. And to go back and do that means like 8 hours a day in the studio.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't, if I'd go back to college, I'd want to go and take a few classes, but I couldn't do that with theater. So
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm learning a lot, and not that that has anything to do with college, but no, I feel like I'm learning enough, and yeah. I mean, I've been able to see so many colleges, and I
right.
feel like I'm getting like a really the good college experience by like interacting with kids and seeing all that, you know.
Do you get any honorary degrees or anything? So, can you tell us about the movie with Judd Apatow?
I've been working on it for almost 2 years.
Oh, great.
I would say maybe a year and a half. But it's a musical. It's not a parody, but it's like a real high school musical, like an R-rated high school musical.
Okay.
And then the plot's been changing a lot. We're doing a lot of rewrites. But it's coming along well. We want to make sure that this isn't like a not another teen movie thing or any, like it's a completely
right.
separate project from that.
Right. So if you could do a duet with any musical comedian, who would you pick?
Oh, probably Tim Minchin. He's an Australian comic. He's
okay.
a piano virtuoso, and he's incredible. I met him a few times. He's
oh,
like
cool.
the coolest and the most talented dude ever. Europe and Australia have like an incredible musical comedy scene.
Mm-hmm.
We only have a few people.
Yeah, as a kid, like, did you listen to Weird Al or?
I did Weird Al. I never loved the parodies. I mean, I think Weird Al does the parody so well. That it's good.
Right.
Really, I mean, I'm a huge, like, white nerdy. I memorized all that in high school. But, like, when parody is done bad, when musical parody is done bad as stand-up, it's the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, free ball and yam. Free. And it's like, oh, God, just die.
So,
or, you know.
Like, on stage and on the internet and stuff, you always refer to the fact that people think you're gay. Have you ever considered just lying and pretending you're gay, maybe pull some audience from Lady Gaga?
That's what I've done. I kept it ambiguous because first I didn't really care. And I didn't care. But like, are you gay though? Or it's like, don't worry, Bo, I don't think you're gay. It's like, well, what if I was? And then they put down their pitch.
Right.
But yeah, I could, you know, I think I do already pull a little bit of a Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
You know.
Would you ever dress like that?
Well, I have a penis.
Okay, right. All right.
Believe that. That's no. That's,
no, we
that's
can. You can say penis as long as we don't talk about where it goes or anything.
Mm.
That's when we move into FCC grounds.
Yeah.
So, if you could change your association with YouTube, would you dissociate yourself?
You know, I would never dissociate myself because I really respect it. For
right.
what it did, and I kind of got off of it a little bit lately because I really love performing live, and I didn't want to have a concert feel. I didn't want people to come to my shows knowing everything and like
mm-hmm.
smiling and nodding. I always want to be a comedian, and I love live performance, so like that's why I sort of got off it. I never want to dissociate myself,
mm-hmm.
but I always wanted to perform live, so that's why I might. I'm not afraid like, oh, there's a stigma to it, because that's just going to take time to go away, you know.
Right,
but no, I know. I'm proud of YouTube.
How do you feel about people uploading like bootlegs of your live show to YouTube?
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's absolutely fine. Because that lets me. Comedians usually have to like record, have like a little tape recorder in their pocket, so they can listen back
right.
to their sets. And I can just go online and go to recent videos and watch my sets.
Do you?
But no, I'm totally like I'm totally fine. That I'm honestly totally fine with people pirating my album and piling. I literally am. I think that's like. As long as it's spreading around, as long as people are listening to it. And that's the name of the game. Like, that mentality is what got me to this point, so I can't turn around and then hate on it when, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you take maybe, like, online feedback to heart? Like, if a fan posts a video and it's like, wow, this song sucks, do you work to improve something like that, or do you just shrug it off?
No. I don't take that. I take neither end to heart. I don't think you should... I think, sadly, like, comedy, at least stand-up comedy, has to be very self-centered. Like, you just have to, like, go with... Because I figured the stuff that got... Like, the stuff that they liked, I wrote without them in mind. Like,
right.
I wrote by myself. So, if I start thinking about other people and think about what other people like, then it's just going to... I just can't think it helps.
Do you feel that your songwriting has evolved since getting the record deal? Or are you still kind of writing the same mentality?
Record deal is a very pretty word that people like to throw around. But record deal from Comedy Central Records means a lot less. My record party was like going to a pizza shop. I mean, down the street with a dude. The right. record company consists of two dudes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, so, like, the record deal sounds really fancy, and it, but no, I really wasn't worried about all that stuff. Like, I just, once I got on stage, I started writing songs for the stage rather than songs that were, you know, meant to be set in a bedroom. So,
right.
if you want, my new set is a lot, like, I don't think, my new set has, like, zero references to my age, and it's not about being like, oh, I'm so lonely, and so, you know, because that's how I was feeling when I was 16
right.
writing it.
Right.
But
now, you're 19. Do you ever get denied from going into comedy shows or anything? For being under 21?
No. Sometimes. But
yeah.
then I have to. Yeah, sometimes. There's shows that I've headlined that I couldn't have got into. Which
right.
is weird. Like, my friends can't get into.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's always weird. I always kind of wanted a fake ID, not for the beer, but just so I could go to comedy shows.
Yeah.
So are there any topics that you specifically avoid for your songs?
Tip? What do you mean?
Specific topics, like...
that I... for what reason?
To avoid...
That they're hacky, or that they're... Well,
not necessarily hacky, but like maybe... Like, I know some people have protested your shows.
Oh, I don't care about that.
You don't care about any of that?
I started to avoid offensive material, not because it was... I cared what people thought, but because I never wanted to seem like I was a shock comic, I kept hearing
right.
people talk about that, and I was like, oh, I don't want to be that, like, because
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's such a crutch.
Yeah,
and
I
just made the rule that my jokes would have to be more funny than they were offensive.
Mm-hmm.
If they were offensive, they had to be funnier than they were offensive. So I still have edgies. No, I don't care. I have never, ever understood why people get offended. I'm a very not sacred.
Like you have a say in society.
I hold very,
or...
very little sacred. And the only things I do hold sacred would be so specific that a comedian's not going to joke about, like, my specific mother.
Right.
You know,
right.
but, like, people getting offended by general things, like, blows my mind.
So I guess we'll end with this. I've got two more. How about, okay. do you hook up with fans after shows?
I've had a girlfriend for 4 years.
Okay.
Just before it all
okay.
started.
Okay.
And that's the good part about it, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Somebody who wants to get with me for the sole reason of what I do is very... it's not worthy of that. So we're in trouble.
All right. Well, so you've got the record deal. Well, you've got something with Comedy Central.
We got the pizza thing.
You've got the specials on TV, the movie scripts. You've been on my show. Now, what's next? Do you have any, like, specific goals, like hosting
really
Saturday Night Live?
Or,
you really want to do a cancer benefit?
Yeah.
That should be pretty easy to do. I might be able to hook you up. I know some people at this school.
All right.
Maybe we could do a show tonight at 8 o'clock in the Campus Center Ballroom.
Oh, no, I'm busy then.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk. We'll text or Twitter each other.
Sweet.
And we'll figure that out. Bo, thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. Good luck with everything.
Looking forward to the show tonight.
Yeah. Tell Lewis I said hi. I don't know him.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll tell Lewis Black you said hi next week. Bo, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. We just shook hands for real.
Okay.
For people on the listening.
Yes. Thank you very much, Bo.
See ya.
Thanks.